Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Tonight, I have a powerful secret to share with you, especially if you're a parent of a young child or a grandparent of a young grandchild. There's been so much talk in recent weeks about the NAPLAN school tests and the constant mounting pressure on schools and families to achieve better and better literacy and numeracy results. But according to my next guest, the secret of actually achieving those results is simple and powerful. In one word, music. That if you want to improve young minds, not only intellectually, but also to develop their social, physical, emotional growth and well-being, music just has to be part of their education. So says Dr. David Woods, Dean of the School of Fine Arts at the University of Connecticut, who's on a speaking tour of Australia. Dr. Woods, it's great to have you with us on Open House.
It's good to be here.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
I want you to tell us, if you can, what the research has demonstrated about this arena. I know you've done your own work in this research.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, music matters. It matters in the lives of children, and it matters in the lives of adults. And when we cut music out, we find that the full development of a child does not take place. There are hundreds of studies in the United States, throughout Europe, here in Australia, that show very specifically that when a child has a music education, the child does better work in mathematics, does better work in reading and literacy skills. We have found just in the last 2 years that the involvement with music can also increase the IQ of a young child. Mm. And this research is really quite significant.
Measurably?
Yes, yes. These are all viable and valuable studies that have been done by really accurate researchers who are well known. And I think that we need to listen to this research.
Yes. How much can you increase a child's IQ by with music?
It right at the moment, we find that it increases just by a few points, but it does increase the IQ. Mm. One would have to ask the question, what if you didn't have music at all? Does it decrease the IQ? And some of my own primary research shows that without music, a child's aptitude can, in fact, decrease. And some of the studies I have done with schools in the Chicago area show that when a child does not have music, there really is a decrease in musical aptitude.
So what is it about music or the elements of music that makes such a difference to young minds? Do you understand it?
Yes. I think many of us in this field cannot pinpoint exactly what it is in music that makes the difference. Mm. But we do know that it does increase skills in aptitude testing. The Scholastic Aptitude Test in the United States is a measure of one's ability to go into the university. Almost all of our high school students take the SAT test. We have just recently had a number of studies that show dramatic improvement in SAT scores with those students who are involved in music in some way. And I'm talking about playing a saxophone or playing a clarinet or singing in a choir. It can be an ensemble. It can be playing guitar. But somehow, music itself makes a major impact on the development of a human being.
Tell me what are some of the practical differences, both, I think, intellectually and in their general well-being, between those who've had their musical side developed and those perhaps who haven't.
Yes, one of the studies that was done in the state next to ours, Rhode Island, and just recently, was a longitudinal study of 30 years and showed that actually those who had music were less prone to criminal activity. Mm. And those without music many times were in prisons and in jails in that particular state. interesting.
What powerful evidence.
Powerful. Going into those prisons and actually studying the inmates to see whether or not they've had a musical background. Most of them had not.
And it also plays a role in the spiritual development, you say, of children.
Oh, absolutely. We have found that music has an impact on every facet of a child's life, and particularly the spiritual side of development for a young child. As a child is learning about the importance of religion, the importance of Christianity, and the importance of living a life that is free of sin, music can have a major impact, particularly some of the beautiful songs that young children can sing at 3 and 4 years of age about the value of religion, the value of being a Christian.
Do they get that from the words, the lyrics, or do they get that from the music, or perhaps a combination of the both of
the
them?
A combination of the both, I think. And certainly music itself is powerful, and as the child develops conceptually, then the words have more meaning. But I think that if you begin singing Christian songs, hymns to a young child at an early age, it has a powerful impact on what happens later.
I'm sure there'd be many people who would remember their own childhood.
Absolutely.
And the force of that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So here's the question. Why do you think it is that in countries like Australia, the politicians and the educators, if they're doing anything, they're actually winding back subjects like music in our curricula?
Absolutely. I have difficulty with this in my own country. Why would you want to cut music and art out of a curriculum when you know that it can increase the developmental skills of young children?
Perhaps because they're thinking that we need the direct effect of literacy and numeracy to turn our kids out for jobs.
That's right.
Notwithstanding there are many fine musicians earning good money
that's right.
in the world, but music is a secondary element.
Exactly. And
but you're saying it's not.
It's not. No. Absolutely not. But in our country, we are going through some of the same activities that we find here in Australia. And many of our primary teachers have to teach to standardized testing, and they need their students to get high scores in mathematics and also in literacy. And so they cut out art. Many times they cut out athletics and they cut out music. Mm. Which is opposite of what the research shows.
No matter whether you're a music freak or a sports freak,
that's right.
You'd have to think how diminishing that is
and
stunting.
To the human being, absolutely.
Tell me, one of the countries that's perhaps more enlightened in this arena is Finland. Could you explain the circumstances there?
I haven't done a lot with the Finnish educational system, but there, music is mandatory, and it's mandatory from a very young age.
And how young?
2-3 years of age, which is where it needs to start. And my own personal research shows that it has to start at that age. And young children can play instruments, they can do things in music at a very young age.
So what would a two-year-old, just diverting from Finland just for a moment, what would a two-year-old be playing or learning?
One of the things that I have used with young children is a stringed instrument, the dulcimer, which is much like the psaltery, and it can be strummed, and I teach basic beat to young children by having them move back and forth and having them clap their hands or pound the floor. And then once they get that, I put a pick in their hands and they can strum that dulcimer or that guitar, and I can do the chords. But right at 2 years of age, they can be playing music and singing.
I'm sure you see lots of faces light up when that happens.
Oh, it's just amazing. Yeah. But back to Finland,
yes.
They have really found that this can improve the total development of the child in school. But not only that, they also use music for the elderly. And there are some interesting studies that show that music involvement from the elderly can improve their health, their mental acuity, their ability to learn at an elderly age. It's just fascinating.
Even when an elderly person has not had any musical talent.
That's right.
Or ability, or even played an instrument before.
That's right.
They can still learn. There's hope for us all.
Yeah, it's just it's wonderful to see that.
Here's the big question, though, for kids.
Mm-hmm.
These days, to teach something to children, you have to seem to be fun and exciting. It has to be dazzling and preferably high-tech. When we know that learning an instrument or learning anything of quality is often a slog and a hard grind.
It
is. And requires discipline. So how do you bridge that gap in 2011?
Well, that's an excellent question and something that I believe all music educators should be aware of. What can we use today through technology, through the digital media, if you will, to excite young people into the world of music? And there are many ways to do that. And I have seen that done even with private lessons, as someone teaching a clarinet lesson and having on the screen various clarinetists playing, and the young student listens to them, sees them, then plays. I mean, there are many things that you can do with technology today to really stimulate musical growth.
Yes. On Open House tonight, we're with Dr. David Woods, Dean of the School of Fine Arts at the University of Connecticut. He's on a speaking tour of Australia, explaining the power of music to shape young minds. Dr. Woods, I'd love to hear something about your own personal story with music.
Right.
How and when did you start?
Yes.
And where has music taken you through your life?
Well, I was very fortunate to have two musical parents. My father was a trumpet player, studied trumpet, and had a radio program in St. Joseph, Missouri, which was on every Saturday night, and it was a jazz program. My mother was a violinist, and so I had music from the minute I was born. And I remember actually being 3 years of age and having my mother play opera for me and telling me the story. And one of the operas that she used was Pagliacci. And she even made the clown for me. And I became extremely interested in opera at a very young age. And it was because of her.
How could you not?
Exactly. Yes. She exposed it. And that's the message that I give to parents, that you expose your child to music immediately after they're born.
Some do it even in the womb.
In the womb. And I have...
Do you support that?
I do. I do. My research hasn't been with prenatal work, but I have worked with researchers who have done that. I have really focused on birth to the 3 years of age and how musical aptitude can be increased during that period of time. We know that children are born with an internal sense of pitch. That can be perfect pitch, but in some cases, it depends on the circulatory and respiratory system of the mother while the child is in the womb.
How amazing.
Yes, and when the child is born, they have a particular pitch sense, which can be from D above middle C, really up to G above middle C. Most children are around D or E flat. If you can focus in on the particular pitch center and sing that pitch center or play pieces in, let's say, E flat, the child will calm down. The child will identify with that pitch. Yeah, it is very, very powerful.
It's fascinating stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Can I be practical if this is your specialty area in the very young?
Yes.
If I'm a parent of a young one and I think, yes, I'd like this to be part of my child's development. Or if I'm a grandparent, I'd like to buy a lesson or a term of lessons or an instrument for a young one. When and how should I start in that child's life?
as early as possible, as early as possible. Encourage the child to move, encourage the child to make sounds, whether those sounds are banging spoons on the table, actually using a pan as a drum, putting rubber bands around a box and making music that way. There are many things that you can do at a very young age, but the key is exposure, and exposure at a young age, and have that child involved in music all the time. I often tell parents to play the Brandenburg concertos immediately after birth, and to play them over and over and over in the nursery. And that seems to help in developing not only tonal development, but also rhythmic development.
Again, do you understand why? Why it is with Brandenburg concerto instead of country music, for instance?
Yes, well, country music also, and rock music, mainly because of the variation of the beat, and the steady beat, and also the variation of tonality. The music that does not really contribute to aptitude development tonally and rhythmically would be mood music, background music, that doesn't seem to have the impact that we would have from a Beethoven symphony, or a rock piece, or a country western piece, or a gospel piece. And, I mean, it's very important. The type of music doesn't really matter, but it's music itself.
I'm so impressed that one so exalted as yourself, as well as the classics and the Baroque and Brandenburg concertos, can affirm rock music and country music as well. Yeah, the power of it.
Absolutely.
Can I ask you this? What, in your view, matters most with the elements of music in the development of young mind, establishing a sense of rhythm or melody? Do one of those predominate?
It's a combination of both. As I said earlier, a child is born with a particular pitch center, which you can use to develop melody. And you need to do it in a very small range of notes. I sometimes take issue with some of the songs that are written for children today because they're out of the range of the young child. And it's important to keep in a range of about five notes. We also know that a child is born with a sense of rhythm, usually a exact beat of the mother's heartbeat or a subdivision of the mother's heartbeat.
Yeah.
So when we start to work with young children, we need to find out what beat pattern that can they do naturally, and then work with them before we get into other beat patterns or other rhythmic patterns. And this would all be at a very young age, as I said. And you can do this with a year old or 2 years old, tapping on the shoulder while you're singing, having them sway back and forth, which is very, very natural. And but all of that needs to be done. And if it is done, then the musical aptitude, which stabilizes at the age of 9, will really increase. Without that, we have found that there can be a decrease in musical aptitude, both rhythmically and tonally.
It's fascinating. I need to ask you this. What about those children for whom music means nothing? If there is such a child, they might be what we'd call tone deaf, or far more interested in kicking a football around.
Yes. Actually, in my opinion is that a child can learn music. Any child can learn music. And you can go through a series of steps to have a child match pitch. And there really isn't such a thing as a tone-deaf child.
Okay.
You have to work at it, though, as a music teacher or a parent, until you get the child to match the pitch that you are singing or the pitch that you are playing on a clarinet or a saxophone.
So that can be developed in a child who would ordinarily become tone deaf?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be.
Up until the age of, say, 9?
At age of 9, musical aptitude, as well as other aptitudes, stabilize.
Can I finally ask you, to relate perhaps one or two stories where you've actually seen this, again, practically, play out in the lives of children. I'm sure it's the most inspirational thing to be involved with, where they've discovered music and moved ahead with it.
Yes. When you ask that question, I think back to a group of children I was teaching in Iowa a number of years ago. They were 2 and 3 year old children. And in the group was a wonderful young child by the name of Becky. And Becky was totally blind. Mm. And her mother brought her to this music laboratory, as I called it, so she could experience hearing the sounds. She couldn't see, and she couldn't move around a circle, and she couldn't do some of the other things the children were doing. But I would often put a drum in her hand and often would tap her on the back as we were doing songs. One night we were singing a Tisket a Tasket, an old song, and a young man by the name of Michael was circling the circle of children with the note in his hand to put behind someone who would chase him, and he put it behind Becky. And I remember hearing Becky's mother gasp, because Becky could not run around the circle. She couldn't see.
Yes.
And all the other parents were very silent, and the children also knew that Becky couldn't do this. But Becky got up, and in her own dark world, with the singing of the young children, she ran around the circle. And there wasn't a dry eye in that
room. I'm sure.
She did, for the first time in her life, she did something because of music, the power of music.
Wonderful. Anyone else for whom it's been really that special?
Not too long ago, I received an email from a student I had about 40 years ago in the Denver area, and he told me that he was on the Denver Symphony Board now. He's a physician in, wow, in Denver, and that all of his children take lessons. And he really values music, and he told me that he resented having to take my music class. and yet, when we studied such things as the Beethoven Seventh and the second movement of the Beethoven Seventh, and when we studied instruments of different cultures, that he became intrigued, and it became a part of his life. And today, he's making that a part of the life of his children.
What a wonderful gift to hand down.
Yes.
Dr. David Woods, I have loved our conversation tonight. Thank you so much. It's
so
been fascinating. And congratulations on a great lifetime achievement. Thanks very much for joining us on Open House tonight.
Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.